There is an old legend about a man who was seeking refuge from a storm. And he had been wandering for days in the forest, and then all of a sudden he stumbled upon this big red barn. As he entered the barn, his eyes, you know, grew accustomed to the dark. To his astonishment, he discovered that this was the barn where the devil kept his storehouse of seeds. These were the seeds that were sown in the hearts of people. Well, the man became curious, and so he lit a match so he could explore all these seeds and the bins that were around him. And he couldn't help but notice that the great majority of them said, "Seeds of discouragement." About that time, one of the devil's helpers arrived to pick up a load of seeds. And the man asked him, "Why the abundance of discouragement seeds?" The helper laughed and replied, "Because they are so effective and they take root so quickly." "Well, do they grow everywhere?" the man asked. At that moment, the devil's helper became very sullen, and he glared at the man in disgust and said, "No, they never seem to grow in the heart of a grateful person." It is so easy for the seeds of discouragement to get planted in our hearts. You know, you listen to the news, shootings in Thailand, various sexual assaults, local wildfires, hurricanes, and then there's the personal issues that we face of work and elections, health, relatives, disagreements. We can easily be discouraged and downhearted. But is that where God wants us to live? Is that what God wants for us? This morning, I want to focus on the book of Habakkuk. This is a very helpful book to read for anyone just experiencing difficulties. Habakkuk was a prophet, and his book is located close to the end of the Old Testament, and it's only 3 chapters long. The book contains Habakkuk's expressions of faith set in a context of great uncertainty. And it's very cleverly done as this dialogue between God and Habakkuk. It begins with Habakkuk complaining about all the violence, the injustice, and conflict. And then it ends with him giving thanks for God's faithfulness, stating his enduring faith and joy. Now let me read Habakkuk 3, 17 to 19. Read this as part of the script. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. This third chapter of Habakkuk is a song to God, proclaiming God's power and his working in the world. If you look at the beginning of chapter 3, as Habakkuk just kind of looks at all that's going on around him, he expresses his questions and his worries, and he honestly shares about his fear of what is to come. He doesn't minimize, he doesn't gloss over the problems, but he doesn't remain there. He goes on to reflect back the amazing works that God has done. The acts of deliverance of God's people from Egypt, God's direction as they wandered in the desert, and then the entrance into and the settlement in the promised land. Habakkuk moves from this place of fear and desperation to satisfaction, joy, and confidence. The reality is, there is difficulty and loss. But Habakkuk reflects on the power of God. And as a result, his faith is established in confidence. And he writes in Habakkuk 3:19, "The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me walk upon high places." I read a book a long time ago. Some of you may have read it as well. It's called Hinds' Feet on High Places by Hannah Hernard. And the book takes its title from this verse here in Habakkuk. The book is an allegory of the Christian life, you know, from salvation through to maturity. The story is about a girl named Much Afraid. She escapes from the clutches of her relatives, the family of Fearings. And then she journeys with the chief shepherd up to the high places where she is healed by love. It follows her growth from this place of a fearful orphan that's victimized by her circumstances into someone who is strong and joyful, desiring then to share her gifts and then to lead others to the same heights that she has experienced. This is the journey of Habakkuk. He matures in his faith, going from questioning the pain and the judgment that he sees around him to remembering God's deliverance, not allowing those seeds of discouragement to take root and grow. He trusts in God's grace and goodness, regardless of the circumstances around him. And in the space of just four verses, Habakkuk moves from fear and deprivation to satisfaction, joy, confidence. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, I think Habakkuk provides for us an amazing example of how we can maintain our faith and how we can give thanks in the midst of trouble. There are three things that he does that I think we can take note of this morning. First is that he does recognize what is happening, grasping that there are consequences to sin. And he accepts that suffering is the result. His faith is not shaken because of this reality. There is a realization that suffering causes problems, and as a result of sin in our lives, or because of someone else have sinned, suffering comes. We might not like this fact, but our actions and the actions of others, well, they have far-reaching impact. You know, think of traffic accidents. On Friday, I was driving to a dentist appointment, and there was a major accident, and I was stuck in traffic for probably an extra half an hour at least. Well, you know, one person driving too fast, not paying attention, and an accident occurs. Well, how many people were impacted as a result? People late for work, maybe missing the ferry. How many other people like me, late for an appointment or a meeting? And when you're late, well, that impacts the person after you. It's not just all these people on the road, but my dentist, everybody else. One car out of control, but many people experiencing difficulties as a result. Currently on the news, there are several cases of sexual assaults. And we hear about the lack of action on the part of Hockey Canada, and companies then withdrawing their support. Well, this is a good course to take, because the impact of abuse is immense. It deeply impacts not only the person harmed, but on all their relationships. This is something I think we need to talk about more. There are so many people that have been hurt in this regard, but often out of feeling some kind of shame, it's hidden, not brought to light. As we look at what we may have suffered, at the things going on around us, often our response can be one of fear. But in verse 16, Habakkuk says, "I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept in my bones and my legs trembled." Is that sometimes how we feel when we hear about what is going on? But even though Habakkuk feels that way, he doesn't stay there. The second thing that Habakkuk does is he resolves to rejoice in the Lord. He goes on to say, "Yet I will wait patiently. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." Habakkuk knows that despite the circumstances, God is good and he is worthy of praise. There are several places in the New Testament where we are reminded to rejoice in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:6-7 tells us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." No matter how bad life is, God is the source of hope and joy. He is there in the midst of troubles. There's a song by Hillsong United called "Another in the Fire." And some of the words of the song are, "There is a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire, standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there's a cross that bears the burden where another died for me." The phrase, "another in the fire," alludes to the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego back in the book of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar had built this huge gold statue, and he commanded that everyone was to fall down and to worship this image. And anyone who didn't kneel and worship, well, they would be thrown immediately into a fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down and worship this idol. And they responded, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." They were thrown into that fiery furnace. And verse 24 and 26 tells us, when King Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire, he saw four men walking around in the furnace unharmed: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the Son of God. There was another in the fire. The man that wrote this song was in the midst of a very difficult season. His son was dealing with some very serious health issues, and he felt like he was in the fire, and he trusted that God was there with him in the midst. God wants to take us deeper, trusting him, knowing that we are not alone, no matter what is thrown at us. We can have faith in a loving God, in spite of maybe evidence around us to the contrary. The third thing that Habakkuk does is reflect on who God is and what he has done. Habakkuk's faith is strengthened by remembering the power of God's deliverance. He looks back to all the times that God has stepped in and responded out of his faithfulness and love. And in the book of Lamentations, we read kind of the similar profession of faith. Lamentations 3:20-24 says, "I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him." Think of what Jesus has done for us. As the prophet Isaiah points out, you know, he's borne our grief. Our sorrows are the ones that he has carried. It was for our sin that he was pierced. We deserve punishment, but he took our place. He gives us peace. His wounds have brought us healing. And by his grace, we have been saved. In talking about Christ, 2 Corinthians 9:15 tells us, "Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift." In Colossians 1:12-13, we read, "Give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." In Ephesians 2:4-5, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved." These verses remind us what Christ has done and call us to stop and to give thanks. Halloween is sort of the next, thing coming up. And I read about a father who was reflecting on taking his kids out trick-or-treating on Halloween. And the kids were quite young. They were about 3 to 5 years old. And as they toddled, to the front doors, he looked and watched them. And he noticed how they kind of bravely mustered their trick-or-treat. And they took the candy, but they didn't say thank you. Well, it then became his mission to explain how after they received the candy, they should always say thank you. Well, after several attempts to encourage this grateful response, in some frustration, he just came to understand that they were far more overwhelmed that when a door opens in the darkness, two people with candy appear, than they were overwhelmed with the idea that they were being graced with an unwarranted gift. It dawned on him that gratitude needs a recognition that, this didn't have to happen. What I'm receiving is just a pure gift. I didn't earn or deserve this. And this father commented that, such an insight is too profound for little children on Halloween night. And perhaps for us on any given night. Our focus can be on the dark, afraid. Or we can remember what God has done, placing our trust in him, giving thanks for his grace, because it is a gift that we don't deserve. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, we can learn a lot from Habakkuk's dialogue. First, we can come to God asking difficult questions, acknowledging what is going on and expressing our fears. And then two, we can make a conscious decision that in the midst of the difficulty, we can rejoice in the Lord, trusting that God is with us in those fiery times we face. And third, we can be grounded in God's mighty acts of deliverance, remembering what he has done for us, giving thanks and rejoicing. Habakkuk's resolution is to be joyful and to make the best out of a bad situation. He knows that despite the circumstances, no matter how bad life is, God is good and worthy of praise. He is the source of hope and joy. In the last verse that I read before, I'll read it again. He says, "The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights." When we give thanks and put our hope and our confidence in God, God enables us to have sure footing in difficult times, knowing his presence. And an amazing thing about being thankful is it's not only what we are called to do, but it's good for us. Research shows that people who count their blessings who remind themselves daily of things for which they are grateful, show improvements in mental and even in physical health. The enemy wants to plant seeds of discouragement in our lives. But as we recall the love, the power, the faithfulness of God, choosing to thank Him in the midst of whatever we're facing, we will experience His joy. As we look beyond the circumstances, becoming aware of God's incredible love, His presence strengthens us. And it's here in the heart of a grateful person that the seeds of discouragement will not take root and grow. You will have noticed there are little cards that were placed in the bulletin. These little ones. And maybe the ushers would grab some extras if you don't have any. Because what I would like you to do is to write on this. You will notice on the communion table there is a cornucopia. Well, the cornucopia is an ancient symbol of abundance. And it reminds us of God's abundant blessings, how they overflow, the overflowing of His graciousness that God makes available in our lives. So what I would like you to do in response today is to take this little card. There are some pens, I think, on the back of some of the chairs, and write down something of thanks, a word of thanks, or maybe, you know, something general, just giving praise and thanks to God for who He is. We're going to sing a final song, so I'll invite the team to come up. They'll play a little bit first while you're writing this down, and then I would like you, as we sing, to come forward and to place this, kind of think of it as like a Thanksgiving offering, into that cornucopia. And if you have some mobility issues, then I'll come around and I will pick those up for you. But first, let's pray. And as I begin praying, I think of Jesus saying this to you today. Let me free you from fear that is hiding deep inside you. Sit quietly in my presence, allowing my light to soak into you and drive out any darkness lodged within you. Accept each day just as it comes to you, remembering that I am sovereign over your life. Rejoice in this day that I have made, trusting that I am abundantly present in it. Instead of regretting or resenting the way things are, thank me in all circumstances. Trust me and don't be fearful. Thank me and rest in my sovereignty. Lord, may we hear these words of you speaking to us today, that we wouldn't be fearful, that we would thank you, that we would choose this day to rejoice in you, allowing you to set us on sure footing. You have given us so much. So, our Father, we come on this Thanksgiving Sunday with thankfulness and gratitude, and we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.